Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, March 21st. Happy spring, everybody. I guess today's the first official full day of spring. Joining us this afternoon is Eureka City School Superintendent Fred Van Vleck. Hey, guy.
How you doing?
I'm looking out at the North Bay here. It looks like Mud City. It must be super low tide right now.
Yeah, I think so. And nice and windy out there today.
Yeah,
too.
Well, you know, the white caps and the mud just kind of have a nice contrast right now.
Yes. But nice to see the sun. So it does look like spring today as opposed
to
yesterday.
That's what it is. Yeah, yes. Okay. This afternoon, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about planning. How do you do long-term planning when you're, well, as we said with Virginia yesterday at the county, when the sands are shifting underneath you all the time and you really don't have a guaranteed stream of income, how do you plan on what you would like to do? The school district is going through that, so we'll talk a little bit about strategic planning, education style, when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Fred Van Vleck. Oh, he's getting serious. He just squared up to the microphone now. But before we do our quote this afternoon, let's see if we can find something that's kind of worthwhile. Here's one. Charlie Chaplin.
Ought to be good.
Yeah, good. You're a fan of the silent movies. That's wonderful.
I've heard of them, man. Yes.
Yeah. In the end, everything is a gag. How's that for frightening, huh? Some of the stuff we take really seriously.
Well, I guess it's, you know, that is interesting. As you get older, things become more relative, don't they?
Well, no, that's inbreeding, more relative.
That's related.
I think perhaps we can see, and I would think for particularly for your situation with Eureka City Schools or at a principal level or at a classroom level. Okay, my universe, if I'm a teacher, is those 28 or 30 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and my world is defined as that wall, those windows.
Correct, and you can close the door and have your own world.
And by golly, what do you mean we attack somebody today? Okay, step out of that to the principal level, and you got the campus and all the classrooms inside and all the parents and. Step back to your level. Now you're looking at bigger and, you know, at the school board level, you know, if there's multiple districts, it's even bigger in the state, blah, 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 blah. So as you're trying to put together your plans, your ideas, getting input from various folks, how do you get everybody to focus on the same level of reality? Is it the classroom? Is it the school? Is it the district? Is it the community? Where is that focal point? You're smiling because I know you've had to gone through this one a couple of times. How do you get everybody focusing at the same focal point?
Well, the reason I'm smiling is if you have the answer for that, you're hired.
Yeah, but I'm not sure you'd really want me on board, man.
Well, here's the reality of that. As you know, when you have constituents out there in the public and you have board members and you have principals and you have teachers and you have students and you have parents and you have everybody else that I didn't mention out there, everybody has their own opinion on what they think is the right thing to do and what they think should be the priority for the district. And the key to that is figuring out as a group, especially for the board who represent their constituents out there, what their priority for the district is. Because one single board member may have a priority on one thing and a different board member a priority on another thing. And I hope my board members aren't listening. That doesn't really matter. What matters is...
Hi, John. Okay.
What really matters is what is the collective priority of the board? Where is it that all five members of the board see the priority of the district and what direction it's going?
Or at least three.
At least three, but I would much prefer, in fact, during the strategic plan process, we talked about a supermajority. It took four of the five members in order to change anything or change any kind of priority level in the strategic plan.
I would think that you wouldn't want to have a 5-0. Because I could argue that that would mean that there wasn't enough information available or that there wasn't enough discussion for people to kind of develop their own independent thoughts, because that's what I would think that you would really want, is five people from five different perspectives inputting from those perspectives. And if everybody's saying the same thing, you're not getting a diversity of opinions to be able to really start to provide the service that's necessary.
Can we hold that question for just a second? Because
sure.
I want to come back to it, because I want to back up just a second and talk about the process of the strategic plan. And so write down 5-0, because I want to talk about that.
Right there. And see the squiggle? That says majority.
Excellent. Does everybody out there see that?
If anybody can, they can't read it anyway. It doesn't matter.
All right. So anyways, the strategic plan process, the way there's several different models that you can use out there. And the plan process that we used was more of a business model. And we had an outside consultant come on into the district and help facilitate the process, because it needed to be something that it wasn't me up there leading the process, because we didn't want it that there's a biased view of what direction I thought the district should go in or something like that. So we brought in a group of community stakeholders. They met one afternoon over on the Winship campus, and he went through some of the big areas in education and talked to them. They started with what he called a pyramid concept, with the vision and mission at the top of the pyramid being supported by the goals of the strategic plan. And we actually have 23 different goals that will be inside of our strategic plan. The community talked about those goals and talked about how those goals should be worded, what specific things should be included in those goals, and made that recommendation to the board of those specific goals. Then, following that, they forwarded those on to the board, and the board took those, and the board looked at those goals, didn't any minor tweaks, and there was very little tweaks that came from the community, because they really wanted to listen to their constituents that are out there, community, teachers, classified folks. And then what they did was they took, modified them slightly, and then put them in priority order as far as what they thought were the most important, down to goal number 23, not least important, but less important than those that are most important, if that makes any sense.
Because or less urgency.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So that's how they went through the plan and how they got in some sort of order.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319. We'll be back with more from Fred Van Fleck.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, you wanted to go back to this, not the supermajority, but unanimity, a 5-0 vote from, I would suggest, any group larger than one. Takes a lot of time. I know you've done the dinner table discussions. Yes, dear. Okay, yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, and your heart's not there. I mean, I've gone, everybody's gone through that thing, right? When you got two people. Now you take it out to five. Now, when you say 5-0, are you saying everybody stands behind the vote, 5-0? Or are you saying everybody has to have full buy-in on this thing, 5-0? Or you guys are full of hot air, but outside the door right there, yep, it'll be a 5-0 and I'm with you, 5-0.
So 5-0 is an interesting concept. And if you back away from that a little bit, if you have one board member who doesn't vote for something, remember you have 20% of your board that doesn't support something that just happened.
Sounds like an overwhelming in favor of.
Yeah, 80% is an overwhelming in favor of, definitely. But the key that you need to think about is the discussion that happens before the vote. And I think, again, from my perspective and from being a superintendent, is the key is a discussion. And there's going to be many things in education that are 5-0 votes. And here's the reason, because you have to remember that in education, 85% of the meeting happens in closed session, because 85% of our budget deals directly with staff. So anything that deals directly with staff is going to happen in closed session. And so as a general public member, you're not privy to the information that happens in closed session. So you miss out on a lot of the things, a lot of the very heated discussions that happen in closed session. And the reason for that isn't because it needs to be hidden from the public. The reason for that is simply we're talking about people. We're talking about negotiations.
Well,
we're talking
legal,
about...
Isn't it?
What's that?
Don't you legally have to do that?
Well, legally, we have to. It's a privacy thing. We absolutely have to. But
game, set, match.
Yep. Yep.
So I think a lot of us would feel more comfortable if we knew that there was knockdown dragouts going on in the personnel sessions,
mm-hmm.
rather than, you know, everybody just standing there smiling and saying, well, this is how we vote, that there was robust discussion, that there were different thoughts and different opinions being expressed, but we can't go into those details because of personnel law in California, because that's the right thing to do and it's the way the contracts are structured. So don't think that we have whitewashed anything, mm-hmm. or that there was no discussion on these. There was, in fact, deliberate discussion on these. I think something just along those lines would get everybody going, oh, okay, at least it was vetted, and there was not a quick rush to solution.
Right, right. See, and here's a great example. Closed session item happens. We talk about personnel, and I think if you went and asked any of the board members of Eureka City Schools, is there heated, passionate discussion, deliberation that happens in closed session, you're not going to get one of them that says, nope, that doesn't happen at all. But when you get out in open session, we're going to vote on warrants. Should we pay this bill this month, or should we pay that bill this month? Well, yeah, that's a pretty easy final vote.
All the excitement,
vote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or we get out and we discuss something about, should we approve this safe school plan for this school and that safe school plan for this school? Those are pretty easy 5-0 votes that don't include a lot of discussion because, yeah, we all want safe schools and we don't have to have a lot of discussion about, yeah, we want a safe school.
Almost a consent calendar. In other settings.
The vast majority of our agenda in open session is a consent calendar. And we do have a consent calendar. And then we have the next piece of our agenda, which is action discussion items, where that deserves – it's not a routine item. Routine items always come on consent calendar. And those are things like the budget for the school district. Different things like that come up each month. Like, for instance, coming up at our next board meeting, we're looking at a new auditor for next year. Those sorts of things. They're fairly routine things that there's not a lot of discussion that goes around them.
And but then, business related,
yep,
rather
yep.
than people related.
I would say probably 80%+ of our agenda that happens in open session is directly dealing with business services and our chief business official, his agenda. The personnel agenda, our assistant superintendent of personnel, all handled in closed session, almost exclusively.
So there is discussion, there is work, there is attention being given.
Absolutely.
It just isn't out in public.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what percentage of the community do you think understands that?
Less than 5%, certainly.
Because we don't hear an awful lot
right.
about that stuff.
Right.
And when you do, typically there's a poster in association with it at the end of a stick.
Mm-hmm. Well, here, think of it this way. How informed would you consider the average person running for the board to be? More informed than most citizens or less informed? kind of a loaded question. From
was this before election or during the campaign?
Either. Right up until the
I would suggest about a third of what they think they know.
Yes. The biggest shock that comes out there is when a new board member comes on the board and they are like, holy smokes, I didn't understand the complexity of this operation. And again, that's because look at how much business happens in closed session. Look at how much, I know this will be a surprise to you, but as a superintendent, I don't put my feet up on the desk and eat bonbons all day. We have a full-time job in there and we're running a $34 million business. And a $34 billion business, just like out in private business, requires administration to make sure that the paychecks get written and people get their pay at the end of the day, that we do our warrants, we pay our bills, all of it.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
Decade of Difference presents a brand new competition, Innovate, a business challenge opportunity to pitch your creative idea. First step, upload a 60 to 90 second elevator pitch highlighting your business venture idea by March 29th. 40 finalists will be selected to move on to phase two. But don't wait. First 100 entries receive a free iTunes gift card. To upload your video and get more information, visit decadeofdifference.org. A grand prize of up to $2,500 will be awarded. Don't wait. Innovate.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka City School Superintendent Fred Van Fleck. Fred, before we kind of got a little bit off the rail, not too far, but a little bit off the rail, you talked about rankings and priorities with a strategic plan. That was one of the things that you'd got the community group together. I don't know if I should say that I spurned you or just didn't respond. Anyway, thanks for the offer to participate. The priority listing. What would be the biggest surprise for somebody who wasn't there, somebody who's non-education, not involved in it? What would be the biggest surprise priority on your ranking? For just the regular guy or gal, we pay our taxes, thank you very much, but kids are out of school or we don't have kids.
I'm going to address that question in a little bit different direction. And the reason why I'm going to express it or answer it in a little bit different direction is because think about it this way. Schools in general talk about different things in isolation. For instance, we talk about our math program at one point, and then a little bit later we'll talk about our English program, then we'll talk about negotiations, and then we'll talk about the district budget, and oh yeah, then we'll talk about going out and family outreach, and then we'll talk about the science program, then we'll talk about the PE program, then we're going to talk about the career and technical education programs. Was there anything there that I said that you don't think is a priority?
A priority or the same priority as the others?
There's the key right there.
Oh, see? I was there in spirit.
So if we talk, let's just take one of those. How about career and technical education? You think that's important in Humboldt County?
I think the first thing that you have to figure out is what is career and technology as defined by Humboldt County?
Well,
to not, be able to teach to it.
Right.
General term?
But not career and technology, career and technical. And what that is that's the old vocational program where you teach
people
skills.
Right, the HROP.
Yes, there you go.
What
yep, exactly, exactly. So if you
okay,
went out,
so now you're asking me.
Yep. Is it important?
As much, if not higher, than some of the others you mentioned.
Okay.
Yes.
So we go to a board meeting and we talk about the career and technical education program for Eureka City Schools. And you talk to the board and the community out there. And I think you're not going to get anybody that doesn't say, man, this is a very important program and we really need to invest our time in it. So then we come to the next meeting and the budget comes up. And Paul Ziegler, our chief business official, gets up there and talks about the fiscal solvency of the district. And we talk about the deficit spending problem that we have right now. For instance, for every dollar that we bring in this year, we're spending $1.06. And next year, every dollar we bring in, we're projected to spend $1.10. Think that's a little bit of an issue as we look at our reserves long term?
It certainly would be something to discuss.
Yeah. Okay. So we talk about that and that's a priority. We have to fix that. So the next meeting, we're on month three now, and another program comes up about family outreach and reaching out to the community and connecting parents and families to the schools. You know, the board is very supportive of that, 100% behind it, and they want us to go out and make sure we're connecting to the families in the community. So I'm starting to build this little problem here.
Now, what I'm seeing is separate and divide, or divide and conquer.
And that's what happens
instead
at board
of
meetings.
Connecting and saying, okay, here are the priorities, here are the areas. Does anybody see how we can save or do things better, more effectively, more efficiently with this area of classes, of this area of instructions, of this area of the educational experience? And you mentioned, you know, the classroom setting. I don't think you ought to buy another textbook for anybody over the fourth grade from tomorrow out.
I think you're a good forecaster of the future, because I think that's where things are going. I think things are going towards the reader.
Buy a, take your pick, a, you know, you mentioned reader, okay, a Kindle or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Everybody gets one for free.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds like a huge expense, right? No, I'm talking to the wrong guy.
In the future, it's not a huge expense.
Let
absolutely
me look
down not.
The office. It sounds like a big expense, doesn't it, guys? Yeah. Because what's a Kindle? $200?
Less than that. Okay. I think they were on Walmart at the Christmas ads for $79 for one of the cheap ones.
Okay. So how much does a textbook cost? Because we don't know anything about textbooks.
What would you, should I ask you, what would you guess a textbook costs?
Elementary, junior high, or high school?
You pick a winner.
I would say
a good hardback textbook that's 400 or 500 pages.
5 or 6 years is kind of life expectancy.
7 years. Five to seven.
And just looking at what a college text costs, you're looking at $200 to $400 a pop.
You hit it right on the head.
So times 25. Times $10,000.
Times 25. Don't forget, there's not just one textbook for a kid. There's a textbook, and I shouldn't say a kid, a student. There's not just one textbook for a student. There's multiple textbooks for students because right. You have English and math and
so
science.
So our Kindle now, or a laptop, if we want to give them a laptop, suddenly becomes very affordable.
Yes, it does.
And maybe there's a little bit of personal responsibility associated with it, too. And now we're wrapping a couple things together. Now maybe you got a couple bucks for the travel team or for the music program or for the roof or for some of these other things that have always been deferred because you're having to spend so much in textbooks.
So you just made a real good point.
So my priority?
No.
Ag and vocational stuff, I think, is really high. So those are life skills.
Hold on a second, though. I want to hit that point you just made. So we just saved a couple bucks on that Kindle.
You think I stepped in something, huh?
Okay. No, I don't. Where do you want to spend those couple bucks?
Well, back to that high priority.
There you go, strategic plan. So that's the point.
I didn't say plan. I said vocational ed.
Depends on what order that is on the strategic plan.
Could be. But yeah, I think everybody realizes it's a fixed sum game, and if you're going to save, right. That means just something else can get filled in. But the priority of what is the first one, and that gets full, that cup gets full, and then you fill up the next cup, and that's full, and then the next one, and then maybe not all cups get filled.
And how hard is it for a board to make a decision like, what's more important, the math program of the district or the fiscal solvency of the district? Or how about the math program of the district and the English program of the district? Or how about, let me make it even a little bit harder, how about technology for the district or career and technical education for the district or visual and performing arts for the district? Some of those decisions get very difficult.
Ah, well, at least everybody will find out what my opinion is when we come back. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:43. More pearls coming around the corner.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. It's more of a grill, Brian. How would you have said something if you had shown up to the meeting that you were invited to go to? Kind of a show today.
This is payback for those first hour mini shows I've been
fair
on.
Enough, fair enough. You talked, Fred, earlier in the last segment about how do you pit one department or one area of education that is a high priority for a lot of folks against other areas that are high priorities for a lot of folks and come up with that who gets fully funded and who gets the half glass syndrome. I would think that you can't do it at a broad brush if it's math, for example. There's math that's appropriate and applicable. There's math that isn't. There's science that's applicable for a vast majority, and there are those that aren't. Same with English. One of my big gripes, you didn't go through Eureka schools, but I did, Doris Gildiscard. Grammar. I don't think grammar is taught anymore. It doesn't seem to stick if it does.
Well, it's absolutely taught.
Okay.
Yep.
As a standalone class?
As a standalone.
Not as a component, but as a class. Here's grammar. I think Latin ought to be taught. There's a bunch of those fundamentals that I see rather than creative writing. Okay, comp, yeah. Creative writing, I'm not sure. Fantasy satire. Well, okay, if the goal is to get kids to read, maybe you do that as an assignment. As a full semester class, I would think grammar is more important. I would think Latin is more important. And I don't think at the broad level where you're saying English versus math, I don't think that's where the decisions can be made. I think it has to get a little bit more granular. And I know that's where everybody gets goosey, because why would you want to have the electeds or the community weigh in at that level?
So let me start off. First, you're holding it against me that I'm Arcata kid. I see how that starts already. So, but anyway.
Holy yes, that's a built-in position, man.
So grammar right now, the state has really answered the question of what it is that we're going to teach. And that's on the California standards. And now they're coming out with the Common Core standards. And the districts are all about the how we're going to teach it.
So the flexibility of establishing the priority has kind of been usurped by Sacramento? To
some extent. If you talk about, because you were talking about, you want to know what's involved in English, what's involved in math, the what is dictated to us by the state. That is for certain. And you talked a little bit about grammar and the what of grammar. Grammar actually, by the California state standards, pretty much ends by the sixth or seventh grade. The expectation is that the students are pretty much fully literate with expectation of grammar by about that time.
Well, we know they've been to Humboldt County because we got to believe they've been smoking something funny. Grammar by sixth grade. I don't think most kids could even spell the word, let alone implement what's a gerund versus any of the other, where do you use a colon versus a semicolon?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They really think that there's 100% comprehension on that subject matter. By sixth grade.
There is supposed to be. Yes, there is supposed to be. Is there? No. Are we getting better at it? Yeah, absolutely, we're getting better at it. And what's going to happen with the switch to the Common Core standards is we're even going to get better at that. So what we need to focus on is how are we going to tie Common Core curriculum amongst all the different subjects and teach things together instead of in isolation?
I sense this might be an ongoing discussion for us. Thanks for coming by, bud. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.